Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Today I want to speak to you on something that we all battle with frequently. It's a cause of great frustration in our lives, and I think if we have to be honest, it's something that we tend to get more wrong sometimes than we get right. I want to speak to you today on discerning the voice of God. And I'm going to do this message in two parts. We'll do part one today, and then we'll do part two next week. So already make sure you don't miss next week. Discerning the voice of God. The good news today is if you have a desire to hear God's voice, if you have a desire to know how God speaks and what God is saying to you, the good news is you're in the right place today. But it's going to require you to be attentive over the time that we have. I'm going to encourage you to not be distracted by things that might be happening around you, because we're going to receive great insight from the scriptures on discerning the voice of God for our lives. As we start today, I want to show you a short clip in a moment. You might have seen this before. It's quite a funny clip, but I think it very aptly illustrates what we're going to be speaking on today.
Das hier ist mein Sektor.
Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters.
Das Gerät und das Gerät.
Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We are sinking. We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
I think that clip very clearly illustrates that sometimes what is being said is not what is being heard. And you know, I think many people sometimes feel this way when it comes to hearing from God. We sometimes feel that God is saying one thing, but we are hearing or interpreting something completely different. And I think when that happens, we get frustrated because we listen out for God's voice. We believe he's spoken to us, and then we act on what we've heard only to realize that we interpreted it incorrectly. And then we end up with a situation that we hadn't planned for. And so we get frustrated. And I think sometimes God also gets frustrated because he's clearly speaking, but we are often not listening and discerning correctly. And, you know, I think particularly in this season of lockdown, I think it's so important that we are discerning the voice of God. You know, I think it's true for every season of life, but I think particularly the difficult seasons. And, you know, lockdown as it is in its current format is about to come to an end, but we're not quite sure what the next part of it looks like. And I believe for us to successfully navigate this next season of difficulty and uncertainty, I think it's absolutely essential that we're able to discern the voice of God, because the reality is that there are always many voices demanding our attention. If you look at the setting that I'm in at the moment, there's newspaper clippings all around me, and I think that is representative of the world that we live in. All these articles are saying something. Some of them have got big headlines. They're shouting at us. And I think we all have those voices in our life that demand our attention. And sometimes it's difficult to discern which is the right voice to listen to. You know, if you turn your TV on, depending on which newscast you listen to, you might hear two people giving completely different perspectives and advice on the very same thing. So, you know, social media at the moment is we're being bombarded by it simply because people have got time on their hands. And so everyone's on Facebook and Instagram. There's so many voices out there. How do we discern the right voices? But most importantly, how do we discern the voice of God? Well, as always, we're going to go to the Bible, because that's the best way that we will hear and discern the voice of God. I want us to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and many of you might be familiar with this passage of scripture, but verse 1 says that the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel said, "what is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "No, I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? No, I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Then verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called the third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied back, speak, your servant is listening. Then we skip to verse 19, and the Bible says that as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be true. You know, there's some great wisdom and encouragement for us as to how to discern the voice of God from this passage here. But the first thing that it's important to understand is that God speaks to us and wants us to hear from him. God always speaks to us, and he needs and wants us to hear from him. And it's very important that you have this underlying belief that God does speak, because if you don't expect him to speak, well, it's unlikely that you are going to hear from the Lord. And the reality is that throughout the Bible, we see God speaking to his people in different situations, in different places, different circumstances. In fact, the Bible itself is really a record of what God has said to us in the past, what he's saying to us in the present, and also what he wants to say to us in the future. And, you know, I've often heard people say, and maybe you've said this before, if only I could hear the audible voice of God. If only I could hear that loud, booming voice say,
this is the Lord. This is what I need you to do.
Many of us think, well, if I heard a voice like that and God audibly spoke to me, well, then I would know exactly what to do. Then I'd know how to respond. And gee, life would be so much easier. But, you know, in all my almost 47 years now, I have to acknowledge I have never audibly heard the voice of God like that. I haven't heard that booming voice. And yet I know God speaks to me. I know he leads me. I know he directs me. And if you are really desperate to hear the audible voice of God, here's something you can do. Open your Bible, read the Bible out loud, or get someone to read it out loud to you, because that is as good as hearing the audible voice of God. A man by the name of Henry T. Blackaby wrote a great book called Hearing God's Voice. And he said, when God speaks, he does not give new revelation about himself that contradicts what he has already revealed in Scripture. Rather, God speaks to give application of his word to the specific circumstances in your life. When God speaks to you, he's not writing a new book of Scripture. Rather, he is applying to your life what he has already said in his word. Can you say amen to that? Wonderful. Let's move on. Another thing we see here is that God speaks repeatedly. The Bible says that three times God tried to speak to Samuel. God tried to get his attention. It wasn't just a one-off occasion. God just didn't speak once and then he was quiet. And you know, I think that's a great encouragement for us, because I know many of you through your life have received a great revelation from God with regards to something particular. And the good news is that he still wants to speak to you again in the present today, and in your future as well. God wants to bring fresh revelation through his word. I believe in every season of life, whether it's a good season or whether it's a bad season, God always has something new that he wants to communicate to us. And I think especially in this season of lockdown, where people are discouraged, people are fearful, people are anxious, people are uncertain, God's word and God's voice brings clarity to our lives, so that we don't have to be confused about what is going on around us. And you know what I love about the way God spoke to Samuel in this passage is that God didn't give up speaking to Samuel after Samuel didn't respond the first time. You know, God spoke and there was no response. He spoke again. He spoke a third time. In fact, it was only the fourth time that God spoke to Samuel, that God called him, that Samuel actually responded. And so we see here something very, very important. Don't miss this. God is persistent in speaking to us. And I believe the reason he is because he wants us to be persistent in listening to him and responding to him so that we can clearly discern his voice. You know, I think there's a number of reasons in life why when God speaks to us, either we don't hear his voice or we're not able to accurately discern it, and why he doesn't seem to get through to us. And, you know, I think sometimes one of the reasons is simply that our lives are just on mute. Other times, though, we hear something, but there's so much interference that takes place. Then there are other times when God speaks, we hear him, but we're a bit confused because there's so many other things happening around us, and it's almost like God is speaking to us in a foreign language.
当年我们争取脱离殖民地统治，号召群众的口号，Merdeka，独立，就是来自印尼和马来亚的政治运动。
And then finally the time comes when we do hear God's voice, we do tune in, we begin hearing from him, but then there are other voices that crowd it out because there's so much happening around us, there's so many people and things demanding our attention. But here's the thing. If you're having a problem hearing from God or communicating with him, the issue is never, ever on God's side. The problem is always on our side. We need to adjust our hearing. We need to learn to block out all those other voices. We need to learn to isolate ourselves and go to a quiet place. We need to fine-tune the signal, and we need to get close to God so that we can accurately discern God's voice when he speaks to us. Here's another thing we see from this passage is that God's voice is a familiar voice. It's interesting that God's voice sounded like Eli's voice to Samuel. You know, Samuel, when he heard the voice, he didn't freak out. He didn't jump out of bed and run down the passageway to Eli's room and say, "Eli, there's a weird man in my room. There's a monster underneath the bed. I heard this strange noise there. It was like a voice from a horror film. There was a goggling sound, some weirdos there." No, it wasn't anything like that. It was a familiar voice to Samuel. And I think that's how God often speaks to us. You know, Samuel, of course, must have thought, gee, wonder what's happening with Eli. I mean, he's getting old now. He must be losing his marbles. He keeps calling me and then forgetting. Maybe he thought Eli was talking in his sleep, or perhaps he even thought, I wonder if Eli's pranking me again. Maybe that's what he's doing. But you know, the reality is if that you are a Christian, if you are saved, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, it means that you've already heard the voice of God, because none of us can come to God without responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's because we heard his voice, we heard what he was saying to us, we heard about repenting and turning our life around. We responded to that voice. So no, as a Christian today, you have heard the voice of God. But, you know, I think over time, what often happens is we lose that original zeal and passion that we had for the things of God. And sometimes we drift away from God over time. Other times we get so busy doing our thing in our time. This is our moment that we actually fail to hear and discern the voice of God. A man by the name of Andrew Womack, who's a well-known evangelist, says that one of the greatest benefits of our salvation has to be that of hearing God speak personally to us. There can be no intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father without it. But as easy as it is for us to speak to him, the average Christian has a hard time hearing his voice. That is not the way that the Lord intended it to be. You know, God has never intended for his voice to be the voice of a stranger to us, a voice that is unfamiliar, or a voice that is creepy, or a voice that is threatening, or a voice that makes us fearful. No, no, God's voice is a voice that brings clarity to our lives. It's not a voice that causes confusion. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 3, we read Jesus saying that the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, it's interesting, whenever you watch sheep and shepherds in the Middle East, you will often see many different shepherds with their flocks gathering in the evenings around a watering hole for all the sheep to drink. And all the sheep, of course, intermingle with one another. And you might be watching from the side thinking, well, how are they ever going to know whose sheep are whose? But the moment when they are, it's time to go and the shepherd begins to call out to the sheep, each sheep knows the voice of his shepherd and they basically separate themselves and each sheep goes back to its flock. Why? Because the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of God, is a familiar voice. And you know, in my own life, I know that often God speaks to me through the familiar voice of my leaders. You know, God has used my leaders to shape me, to speak into my life, to build into me. And so often he will speak that way. Other times God will speak to us through our spouse. And I know for some of us men, this is a difficult thing to grapple with, because if we have to be honest, we want to be the one who's hearing from God first. But I've realized and I've had to, you know, humble myself in this area and know that very often, very, very often, God speaks to me through my wife. Other times, the voice of God is the voice of a good friend, where God will speak to you through a close friend who loves you, who cares for you, one who's got your best interest at heart. Other times, God will speak to you through the voice of a pastor. And I'm really believing that as I'm speaking to you in your home now, God is speaking to you through my familiar voice. Sometimes God even speaks to us through our children. You know, my kids have sometimes said things where initially I thought, hey, what are you saying there? And then I've realized, hang on, that was God speaking to me about a situation. But I think most often God speaks to us through our own voice. And that's how I know he speaks to me most often, is through my own voice. And that's not because I'm like God, but simply because my voice is the most dominant voice in my head. It's the most familiar voice in my head as well. And, you know, sometimes I'll be thinking about one thing, going down a train of thought, and then all of a sudden, there's another thought or an idea that pops into my head. It's in the same voice, but it's on a different channel. And I've realized, well, hang on, that could be the Lord speaking to me. You know, other times when I'm preparing ministry, or like I was preparing this message for today, you know, I'll be praying and maybe say, Lord, would you just give me an idea, or give me an illustration, or give me a verse of scripture that would work here. And then I just carry on with what I'm doing, thinking my thoughts. And then God pops another idea into my head. And I've learned to know and discern the voice of God. But it's a familiar voice. And very often it will sound like my own voice, and for you, your own voice. Another thing we see here is that Samuel heard God's voice when most weren't. Now, the Bible says that in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. You know, really what was happening in the land was that it was a time of spiritual drought. I guess you could probably even say, well, it was a spiritual lockdown and people were doing their own thing. People had drifted away from God. People had prioritized their own business over the Lord's business. Most were not interested in hearing from God, and as a result, they failed to hear and discern the voice of God. And, you know, it's interesting that the book of Judges finishes, the very last verse of the book of Judges is Judges 21, 25. And it says, in those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And that really was the spiritual context into which Samuel was born. And I think that verse very aptly sums up the spiritual atmosphere. There was a time of spiritual lockdown. People were not hearing from God because they refused to obey God. As a result, they strayed away from him. Their faith was shipwrecked, and many had abandoned him for their own plans, and God stopped speaking to them. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that if you and I in life are always insistent on doing our own thing, doing what we want, when we want, rather than what God wants and needs us to do, I think we will also end up forfeiting hearing and then discerning the voice of God. You know, the great A.W. Tozer, who was a great preacher and author, put it like this. He said, most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. You know, obedience is absolutely crucial if we're going to discern the voice of God. Because I think what we like to do, and we're all guilty of this, I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it, is that we often apply selective hearing to God's voice. We hear only the parts that we want to, we sift all the rest out, and then we essentially do exactly what we want to. You know, I see this with my kids all the time. I mean, I got great kids. I love my kids dearly. But, you know, often they'll come say to me and say, they'll say, Dad, can we play video games this evening? And I might respond by saying, well, maybe we can play video games this evening. If you've done all your chores, if you've eaten all your dinner, if you've finished with all your homework, then maybe we can play video games. And then immediately after that, I will hear that child going to the other three siblings and saying, guys, Dad said we can play video games this evening. And then I have to go and say, no, that's not what Dad said. Dad did not say, yes, we could play. Dad said we could play if there's certain criteria that is met. And I think it's a great and simple illustration of sometimes how we all do our own thing. We all listen to our own voice and we choose to have selective hearing and selective obedience with what God is saying to us. Henry T. Blackaby, who I mentioned earlier, said that the willingness to obey every word from God is critical to hearing God speak. Unbelief can render a person stone deaf to God's voice. You know, as we come to a close today with a message, I want to just share an illustration with you that I think is quite powerful. And the story goes that there was a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. He answered an ad in the local paper. He then went to the address where the interview was going to be conducted. And when he arrived there, he stepped into a large, very noisy, very busy office. And in the background, there was a telegraph that clacked away, basically going clack, 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 clack. Anyway, there was a sign on the receptionist counter that instructed all the job applicants to fill in a form and then take their seat until they were summoned. Anyway, the young man completed his form. He sat down with the other seven people in the waiting room. And then after a few minutes, he got up and walked across the room into the door where the person conducting the interviews was. Well, naturally, the other applicants kind of perked up and they thought, shish, who's this guy? He got you after us. How come he's just walking into that room? You know, what's going on? They began to mutter among themselves. Anyway, within a few minutes, the young man emerged from the office with the interviewer, who then announced to the other applicants by saying, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been fulfilled by this young man. He's been given the job. Well, of course, the other applicants began grumbling, and then one spoke up and said, hey, wait a minute. He said, I don't understand. This guy was the last one to come in, and we haven't even had a chance to be interviewed, and yet he's got the job. That's so unfair. And the employer just responded by saying, while you sat there, the telegraph has been clacking out the following message. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. You know, I love that story because we see that if we discern the voice of God, if we understand what he's saying, our lives will always move forward into the good things he has for us. I think, though, for many people in this world, God's voice is no more than a clacking or an irritation to them and one that they have no desire to listen to, let alone obey. But God's voice is the key to our future. It's the key to our life. It's the key to relationships. But it's also the key to intimacy with him and relationship with him. I'll finish with this passage of scripture, Revelation 3, verse 20. The Lord says, listen, I'm standing and knocking at your door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will eat together. Here we see the Lord speaking of his desire for relationship. He's knocking on the door. Don't let his knock just be a clack, 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 clack in your life. Would you respond to that voice? Would you discern his voice? And would you open the door of your life and let him come in so that you can have fellowship with the Lord, so that you can know him personally as Lord and Savior, and you can begin to move ahead into all the good things that God has for you? Can you say amen to that today?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.